woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind.
Well, welcome back to Stats and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. See Mr. Matt Weber and AV on the board. SP Futures up 25, Dow Futures up 198, NASDAQ Futures up 78. This is after a horrible market day yesterday with the futures around 45. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I am doing fine.
Remember how we were counting how many times more are we going to get the China trade deal off, and, well, we had Larry Lyer in the end of the driveway Kudlow out the other day talking about Chinese are still up for a deal, so we run up some. Yesterday, all of a sudden, the president says he's not doing a partial deal, he wants a full deal, and other kind of weirdo tweets. We absolutely get hammered, and then Powell came out and didn't say anything worthwhile other than they have some new measure to let them know when the labor market's going in the crap hole faster than it did last time. I don't know what he was talking about. The no inflation rule, kept saying that the repos they haven't done for 12 years, and they put more money in the system last week than they have at any time since 2008, almost as much as a couple of those weeks. They blew that off as a technicality. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? So then we go basically in the crapo. Now this morning, Chinese open to, here's the two headlines. Stocks jump on fresh trade deal hopes. U.S.-China relationship is worsening rapidly before talks. How do you trade those two, Kevin?
You don't. Lots of protection.
Well, we've got... You know, the thing that pisses me off is that we... Last week I had... when we went flying down last week, we were able to roll our puts down looking for the bounce back. And we got a bounce back, but we're probably a couple of points away because the market's getting a little less liquid. A couple of points away from rolling them back up and having, like, a terrific 2 days. You know, instead of being back, you know, to even and maybe up a little bit, we'd have been done real well because we'd have rolled them up and under back the other way. Didn't quite get there. I wish we'd have gone another 1 or 2 points to the upside, and I'd be sitting here laughing because my guys would be trading this like geniuses. But instead, we're protected and we're fine, and everybody's, you know, I don't get any calls. I never get any calls when we go down. So for that part, it's happy. Plus, I got people long gold, and gold had a big rally yesterday. So I'd say yesterday was one of our best days in a real long time, even though the market was down a bunch. The volatility was way up, so not bad. I was halfway to Indiana last night, meeting with a client. Went to, you ever go to Wagner's in Wagner, Indiana? How's that for a name? Wagner's in Wagner.
No, I have not. I have not been to Wagner, Indiana either, and I don't know where it is.
It's, if you go by Chesterton, you know how there's these, if you go down 20, and if you go down 12 like runs through the middle of every town, right? But if you go down 20, it doesn't. It kind of goes by towns. Like, we don't know where
we're going. No. 12 is different. 12 cuts into Michigan.
Right.
20 will still go, like, through New Carlisle, as an example.
Right. But I'm saying once you get to where, you know, where 2 and 20 split apart there, where they
yeah, then you want to take State Route 2 because that thing does not.
Well, just west of there.
Does not cut through anything.
Well, just west of there, if you over to your right, you see a gas station. There's a thriving little town of Rolling Prairie. It's a nice little town. And once you get out further, Wagner's is a flashing yellow light. You make a turn over a bridge, which is the tollway, and there's a little town with 3 or 4 good restaurants, and it's a nice little place. And with this barbecue place is really good. But it's so Indiana-ish. Even though it's a full restaurant with a back room and a deck and everything, you can't have anybody in the place under 21, even if they have Coke and have a burger. These Indiana laws are so bizarre. Right? So you go play
golf.
Yep. You go play golf with three guys and somebody brings his 20-year-old son with you. You can't even stop at noon and get the kid a hamburger. Well, he's not even a kid if he's 20. And, you know, I'm not talking about sitting at the bar. I'm not talking about anything like that. But he'll have a Coke and a cheeseburger. No, he's not welcome in here. Get him the hell out of here. It's like only Indiana. It's got to be the only state like that. What, if you don't have a room that actually shuts off and has no access to the bar, you can't have a family room or something?
And then you go to Wisconsin, and you know what the rule is in Wisconsin?
There are no rules. That's the rule?
Well, no, there are rules, but any child of any age can be served if that child is with the parents, one or more parents.
What's the same way in Illinois, right?
Not that I know of.
I've never, you can...
In other words, you can be 10 years old, and if mom and dad say it's okay to have a glass of wine at the restaurant, you can have a glass of wine at the restaurant.
Oh, okay, but I'm saying that, like at the Triple E Tap, you know, people bring their kids in after baseball all the time, and the kids just have hamburger and Coke, but they're not drinking.
Yeah, when I said be served, I meant be served alcohol.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah, I'm saying...
it's not unusual at all to see a teenage kid sitting there and having either a glass of beer or a, something with the adults.
Well, that's weird. That's,
it's different, but you know what? When I lived up there, there was a lawmaker, a busybody lawmaker, who decided that was a big problem and tried to introduce legislation, and when challenged to find a single example in history of it being abused, of some parent getting the kid really drunk and all, he couldn't come up with it, and then dropped the case.
Well, how does that?
Sometimes you got to send these people back to the condo boards that spawned them.
Well, I would agree, but I have a question, and the question is, when the states were essentially not bamboozled, they were forced into the 21-year drinking age by the federal government, or else they were going to cut off highway trust funds, right? Wasn't that the idea?
Yep.
Well, how does Wisconsin take that deal and still let people under 21 drink?
Because the legal drinking age is still 21 if you want to buy for yourself.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a... I mean, if you were...
May sound like a technicality, but that's how it works.
But if you were some bleep from an administration in Washington, where, if, like, for instance, they didn't vote for you, you could probably pursue that if you were some ass.
Like I said, send them back to the condo boards that spawned the bastion of busybodies.
I'm saying, but that's what bureaucrats do, right?
Yeah,
is the sniff basically up. The part where the sun don't shine, right? Whatever. I'm sure some are fine, and as we talk about, we were, I don't know if you listened in yesterday, we were having a conversation with Jeff Joseph about how do you get from, and I don't know, Jeff, we would do the show a favor if I got out of the way someday and you and Jeff talked, because you guys know more about it. I'm just a Luddite when I talk to both you guys about this privacy stuff and everything. I mean, it would be better off if you guys just talked, be honest with you, because then I guess you need somebody that doesn't know anything about it asking the questions, because then it gives everybody the right answers. So I guess there is a spot for me there someplace. But, it is interesting that even a guy like Jeff, who is very skeptical of government, is more skeptical about people, you know, we were talking about privacy rights, everything and so forth yesterday, and he's talking about these things aren't regulated. And then I said, well, Jeff, if you name me one spot where the regulation has done a good job, and he pretty much couldn't name one. So I don't know where do you go with that, Kevin?
You know, probably the best you can hope to do is to have proper transparency, and that has, you know, that has been implemented in other places, and implemented by law in some cases. Because one of the problems right now is that people agree to give away a lot of their privacy rights when they click that little button that says I agree or I accept. And the problem with it is that most people don't read it. That's problem one. Problem two, or maybe this is problem one, is that it's not readable in the first place.
Well, how do you force people to
read it? So, you know, it's real easy to say, well, you agreed. Yeah, well, I spoke to you in pig Latin about 16, and ran it on for, did it really fast and ran it on for about 5 minutes, and you're supposed to say, I agree. What are you going to do? Can you repeat that in plain English?
Well, I mean, when payment for order flow started in my business. I guess when it's in your 38 years, you can call it your business, right? Was started none other by the classless buffoon Bernie Madoff, and the regulators just somehow couldn't deal with it. I mean, they I don't know why they froze, Kevin. It was something new, and they froze. Instead of saying that you can't do it that way, your job is as a fiduciary. I use that term, you know, somewhat loosely, but as a fiduciary, I mean, the idea was, I'm going to start from the beginning. The job of a brokerage firm then and now, in my opinion, is to get somebody the best fill. Okay, I mean, right now some of the markets are so narrow on the stuff that people trade all day, like the spiders and things like that. They're penny wide. It almost doesn't matter whether you put a limit order in or a market order in, because it's narrow enough that it doesn't really make that much difference. But the market has a gazillion, products. There's a lot of them where the spreads are wide enough where it matters like a real lot. So a market order could be, you know, a 15, 20, 30 cent different price than a limit order. So right now, what you have is brokerage firms saying that there's no commission, but they'll go and they'll buy that stock or that option, and they'll get a huge amount of money on the other side because they basically gave up money, well, your money to somebody else. They got paid for that being, quote, a stupid order. And that, you know, that's what they'll tell you. If when I do an option trade, like we did a bunch yesterday, well, I'll do spreads. You know, we're 7 cent bid or 27 cent bid or 37 cent bid. Now, the market might be, 25-45. You know, we're 37 cent bid. I could get a lot of money for PTI if I just every time said, whenever this is, I don't care, I don't give a rat's behind about my client. I'm just going to pay you to give me the number. Make the market 50-90. I'll pay 90. I could probably get a dime back there, Kevin. That's how crooked it can be if you want it to be. But I've never once done that, ever, and never will. But, I mean, this is what... So when you say disclosure, I'm just giving a history of it. Bernie Madoff was the first guy. So Arthur Levitt, who not only made Bernie Madoff the head of the NASDAQ electronic marketplace, talk about empowering a crook. And Arthur Levitt should be put in stocks. I don't know what their relationship was or what his deal was. But anyway, so they come out with disclosure. Now, you and I, you more than me, because this is your personality more than mine, you might say, here's a disclosure. Kevin O'Neill bought 1,000 shares of GM through PTI Securities or Merrill Lynch or somebody. Notice how I put us in the same plane as Merrill Lynch for the moment. Instead of going to the New York Stock Exchange and paying, back then you paid for your execution, a cent and a half for the execution, and trying to get between the bid and the offer, they sold your particular order to Bernie Madoff. That you paid the market price. You may have gotten better. By the way, 35% of the people do get better. And Bernie Madoff gave PTI Securities 1 cent. Your order was executed on the Cincinnati Stock Exchange, even though you assumed it was done in New York, and it wasn't. That might be my kind of disclosure, instead of. On certain days, on certain times, when the moon is in the seventh house, your broker from time to time might execute things on places other than the New York Stock Exchange and might get paid for it. That's not the
and
same
then
as...
then you wind up thinking you just read the lyrics to White
yeah,
Room.
Right. But it's not the same as saying, your order that you just paid me 7 cents a share for, by the way, I got another penny for not doing what I was supposed to do for the seven. It never comes down like that. It never sounds like that. It's some esoteric BS that somebody will say. They can't even trace where their order was done.
Right, and then they'll say, well, you agreed.
Yeah, you agreed.
You agreed. So, you know, what could be a role for government that even I might salute? And the answer there is probably an educational role, which is a lot less expensive than a lot of the legislation they do in the first place. And let's flip that over to healthcare as an example. One of the assumptions behind healthcare legislation is it's too complicated for people to understand how insurance works. And so we're going to they're not going to uncomplicate it, because that's not what happened.
They've made it too complicated.
But what we will do is, instead of uncomplicating it, we'll just make a, you know, put all kinds of mandatory stuff in there, and which winds up making it more expensive for everyone. So, you know, that's the approach taken. Now, how much less would it have cost us to make the money available? You could even grant some of the money to local organizations where people really, you know, are attuned and where they have a trust factor built into it. Say, for example, a church group or something like that, or a seniors, senior center. But something that would, that would allow for some real ability for people to learn if they don't really understand insurance. I do, I think you do, but a lot of people don't. Well, how can we make that work for them instead? And I would much rather, spend our money making people smarter than trying to say, well, let's legislate so under the assumption they're stupid.
Well, I think, Kevin, if you go back in history, I'm going to say the first serious attempt for government to regulate, only because they gave people monopolies, was the railroads, right? And then and utilities probably right after that would be my guess, correct?
Sure, and it made sense in many ways.
Well, and I think there...
Because you can't, with the gas company, it's really, really hard to create competition.
And I'm going to say in those areas, though, correct me if I'm wrong here, it may get to the same crappy place, but it's different than our industry and what happened in the firms just run over the regulators. I think if you looked at the history of regulation and railroads and all the pricing and the rate books and things like that, on a relative scale, they probably made very good economic sense. In other words, obviously, a carload of coal, pound for pound, should not cost as much as a boxcar that has to be loaded by hand and there's 50 different destinations in there, correct? I mean, it would make sense that on a pound for pound basis, coal is going to be cheaper than potato chips, right? I mean, you would think.
You're just talking a component, though, not the whole.
But thing. I mean, but that's what the rate books were. So, but they also were very. Remember the old airlines? Well, now they're back to being that. But the old airlines, the reason why they ended up getting regulated is because if there was competition between Chicago and Cincinnati, it might be $500 to go to Cincinnati, but $300 to go to L.A. And people are going, wait a minute, it's a bigger plane, even though L.A. could be a bigger plane and so forth. The fact is, how is a journey of 2,000 miles three times, half as expensive as one 100 miles, type of thing. So there was some logic to that, and that's what those guys, there was a bureaucratic logic to it. But over a period of time, Commonwealth Edison keeps beating on the state. And if there was a permanent Citizens Utility Board, okay, maybe it would work out okay, because there'd be two people fighting in the same room, and they were equally armed, and the bureaucrats could make the call. And I almost would trust them to make the call if both sides could make the argument. But they let the Commonwealth Edison essentially deduct the cost of fighting the utility board, where if you and I and 1,000 people in our neighborhood all sent in $500 to the Citizen Utility Board, I'm not so sure that's deductible, because I don't think that's a charity. So, but I mean, one is the good looking lobbyists they sent in to talk to the people at the bureaucratic board, they get to deduct their salary. Where if you and I go down there, we're giving up our own time. So in that regard, it became an unequal fight. But at least there was some logic to it. I mean, and when it comes to airlines and railroads, that you're not charging a guy, because you're the only railroad here. For me to get my soybeans from Peoria to Chicago, it costs less than get them from Chicago to New Orleans, right? So at least there was some logic to it. Now, did they do a good job over time? I'm saying no, because they get overrun by the company, which is kind of two separate issues, I think.
Yeah, so how can we educate people to get engaged in the process? Because they're not most people are not particularly inclined to get engaged. That's a problem. We don't educate them well through the high school level, so they don't, you know, we've gotten really bad at civics in general. And then on top of it, and my answer to that would be just get the Kardashians to record the educational videos, and people will watch.
Well, but I mean, it is a you know, I won't tell my story again about the one day. I think you might have been on. You might have put me up to it. I was ranting and raving about the lobbyists at Commonwealth Edison, right? And and so my buddy, I won't say his name, my attorney buddy, says, "Look, I got two tickets. We're going to this fundraiser for one of the Republican senators out in Burr Ridge," right? So I'm going, all right. So I dig out my sport coat, I throw it on, and off we go. Of course, we only paid for the cocktail part, or he did, and we didn't pay for the dinner. The dinner was another $600 ahead, so the cocktail thing was like $250. So he ponies up to $500 for the two of us schlumps. So at least we go in, and I said, look, we're sitting right in the middle of the bar, so we get to talk to people. At least let's learn something while we're here. And, of course, I'm sitting there, and this lady walks up, and not that I'm, you know, I'm not sexist, drop-dead gorgeous, dressed to the nines, and I just ranted and raved all morning about Commonwealth Edison, and she says, well, like, who do you work for? And I said, well, I do a radio show, and I do manage money, and, you know, I'm with my friend here who's got things going, and he needs to talk to a couple of people here. okay, and I said, well, who do you work for? Thank God, Kevin, I wasn't sucking on a sip of wine. Well, I'm a lobbyist for Commonwealth Edison. I about died. And then she goes, aren't you coming into the dinner? Oh, no, we always have more than one or two, we always have more than one engagement to go to every night. I was in for a line of BS off the top of my head. Hey, we got another one of these things to go to. Oh, really? Where? Oh, no, I can't really say. Instead of, we're too cheap to go to dinner. I mean, I had no desire to go to dinner. I suppose if I sat next to her or five of her friends, it might have been fun, but, you know, whatever. Too old for that anyway.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they're every bit as good at flattery as any working girl or
I'm sure she would have found out.
What was the guy's name that Dan Aykroyd played? Ed Garvin or something like that?
Well, how much you want to bet somewhere in there would have been, so PTI Securities, how big are you guys? Do you ever have any issues with Springfield? Like, you know that question would have come up. By the way, you need a lobbyist? No, we're not big enough to do lobbyists.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't get a request to come on the show.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know.
Come on, we can talk about ComEd on your show.
Oh, God. SP Feeders up 24. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber, and we also have AV with us this morning, Angelica Lysenko, Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us.
Good pronunciation.
Yeah, Matty, I have to find a way. Can you drop your morals for a week or two?
No problem at all.
And get them back. Why can't I do that? I just can't. unnamed official tells Bloomberg that all of a sudden everybody's ready for a partial trade deal. Scoots the S&P futures 25 points. If he didn't buy 10 before he gave that thing, I would be stunned. The question is he selling them now? He probably is. Why can't I do that? I just can't. Anyway.
Leave your morals at the door, Chief.
I guess. S&P futures up 25, NASDAQ futures up 75, roughly half of what we were down yesterday. Dow futures up 202, maybe a little more than half, maybe 60%. Over in Europe, which was down yesterday, we've got the DAX up 126, 1%, FTSE up 39.5%, CAC around up 42.7. Over in Asia now, we were down yesterday, Nikkei down 131.6%, Shanghai up 11.4%, Hang Seng down 210.8%. We've got bonds 1.56, so not much change there. The Bund minus 0.56, which is right, it's where it's been hanging. Japan, same thing, minus 0.20. Oil up 56 cents, 53.19. Brent up 64, 58.88. Natural gas 228, below 230. I am itching to buy that, although I'm not ready to buy the big contract of, I don't know, maybe I'll try and find a stock that, of an oil company that deals with a lot more gas than they do oil. Wish I had a researcher that could do that. Do not have. RBOB 160, back up to 160, it was under 160 yesterday. We got gold up 350, 1507. Silver up 12 cents, 1782. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one issue in the area right now. Tri-State Tollway northbound before the Stevenson, we have a crash blocking the right lane, and that's causing a significant congestion. Expect major delays on the tri-state at the northbound side, and that's affecting the Stevenson on-ramp as well. So keep that in mind in the southwestern suburbs. No issues coming in on the Ryan or I-57 at this hour. Bishop Ford looks okay. Traffic building on the Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Edens, but no accidents to report. Off the expressways, one concern, Roselle Road at Algonquin Road, there's a vehicle fire. With crews on the scene. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, very much similar to yesterday. Partly cloudy skies, mild temperatures, a high of 69 degrees, low humidity, no rain in sight. So another beautiful fall day. Right now it's crystal clear and 55 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 95 today. Right now it's clear and 67. In sports, Major League Baseball playoffs have taken center stage for the most part, and there's now going to be a third Game 5 as the Tampa Rays upset Justin Verlander and the Astros 4-1 last night, so that series is now tied at 2 games apiece, and we'll head back to Houston tomorrow night for a deciding Game 5, and then there's a pair of Game 5s today. Cardinals at Braves, Game 5 at 4 o'clock Central Time, first pitch down in Atlanta, and then after that game, Nationals at the Dodgers from L.A., that's a 7:37 Central Time first pitch for the deciding Game 5 there. So 3 of the 4 division series have been very compelling. Of course, the Yankees had no problems with the Twins. Lastly, the Chicago Fire, to the surprise of no one, announced that they are officially leaving Bridgeview and moving away from Toyota Park, and they will play their 2020 games in Soldier Field, and there's speculation that they may be building their own stadium in the city. We'll see. Chief.
What does that do to Bridgeview, which was a horrible deal from the get-go for those guys?
Not good.
So it just leaves them with a place, huh?
Yeah, for concerts and something else, but certainly not good.
They do have the Swap-A-Rama.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. You never know. I don't know what the attendance is for the Fire, but it may be for the better.
That could be true too.
And they get more revenue out of other events.
Well, yeah. What?
It's a beautiful stadium. It's just really, really hard to get to,
and it's a
pain in the ass.
It's a classic story of how nobody should build a stadium for anybody.
Right. The town, you know, forked up dough, and I think we actually talked about this about a year ago on the show. They actually made a lot of it back with the Toyota naming rights. But I don't think they broke even by any means.
No
but
way.
It basically saved their asses because they were like dead, and the naming rights helped them out significantly. But yeah, it's certainly a bad deal.
Well, they built a big indoor soccer thing for the kids on the parking lots, and they're making some money on that, and they're making some money on the flea market.
And they've had some concerts there,
yeah.
Which you know you can do that you know throughout the summer, obviously, but that's about it.
I mean, I don't. The one in South Bend, I think it might be okay, huh, Kevin?
That's very successful. It has been since Andrew Berlin bought the franchise.
But
they sunk some dough into it, and also have done a really good job of promoting the team. And on top of that, it's tied to the Cubs, which is a big deal. When it was tied to the Diamondbacks, there wasn't as much interest.
I'm going to say that if you take the history from the first owner through the first check gotten from the city, and how many owners they've been through, that the city is still skunked from day one.
Yeah, I don't know if they are or not. Berlin's also doing a whole lot of development in that area, and that's been very successful. So to the extent that that's tied to his ownership and the ballpark being there, that's been good for the city too. But it was a very bad deal before, totally corrupt. You know, one of the principals was a former mayor of South Bend and a former lieutenant governor who absolutely got the city to pony up some dough, and you know this was all so that we could keep the franchise here forever and we're never selling. And then of course by doing some ballpark improvements that round of them, it made the franchise more valuable, and they and the ownership group immediately sold it.
There I was, Kevin, one day minding my own business as usual.
As usual, yes.
Audrey would say that never happens. You never mind your own business. But that's the typical female, you know, giving you kudos when you need them, right? Anyway, so I'm getting my...
You're going to get me to say such a thing.
I know. So,
I like all of my female friends, and I would never say such a thing about them. In fact, that's not the way they are.
Well,
but you go ahead. You go ahead.
Angelique,
Audrey doesn't get up this early in the morning, does she?
Yeah, sometimes. Angelique gets in my Suburban this morning, and immediately says, "Are those tapes?" Well, yeah. How old is this thing? I go, do we really have to have this conversation at 5:15 in the morning? Anyway, I'm just saying. So anyway, this I'm sitting there getting tires, right? And of course, you're bored stiff. And this guy's sitting away from me, and some other dude walks in, and he goes, "Hey, sit down over here." Must have known the guy. It's this very well dressed. I mean, you could tell he was in politics or a lawyer or something. The African American guy with a big load of blueprints, drawings. He starts putting them out on the table, and the guy recognized him as being somewhat of a big shot, I guess, in Gary government. But they're talking loud enough where I couldn't not overhear. And he starts asking him about the baseball stadium. The Railcats or something?
Yeah.
And the black guy says, "This is an absolutely horse bleep deal, has been from day one. The guy who builds the place runs around to all the preachers." And gets their support. So they, of course, throw the congregation that we need our own baseball stadium. We're going to have, our guys are going to be playing there, our kids, and we're going to have something for ourselves and blah, blah, blah. He says, "So we pony up the money for the place." Well, evidently, it's so close to the lake that, and they went down so far that you have to have constant pumps down there to keep the water from running out of the table. He goes, "It's costing us X per month just to keep this place standing here." And he goes, "We've never made a dime." There's people that come here, but not as many as expected. The neighborhood never shows up. None of the preachers ever show up. Here we are, we're stuck with this albatross. He goes, "It's been a dog from day one." And I'm like, this is this African American guy sitting there just giving this guy a long story. I'm sitting there listening to him. I didn't know it was that bad. But I mean, I have stuff here in the office in my files. There's a big study of the three stadiums they built in Salt Lake City for like minor league ball and stuff. Every single one's been a loser, Kevin. I mean, I don't know where you find a winner. I mean,
You have to get people to come to the ballpark, number one, and so it has to be interested. I always am amazed that so many major league teams have their minor league teams, far away from where they are. The Cubs have their Class A team here, but they don't have their. Iowa, I guess, is nearby, but then it starts to get a little far afield. You know, why wouldn't you put your teams where there's going to be interest and where it is really, really easy for management to get, you know, to do a day trip and get out and see your prospects?
Well, yeah.
If Jed Hoyer wants to run over to South Bend, he can, and he can do that. Go to the game and go home at night and be fine.
I got news for you, Kevin.
And I just don't understand why the model would be, I'm going to put a team in North Carolina or South Carolina or someplace like that.
Matty Weber might be able to dispute this, but I'm going to say when Jed Hoyer wants to see the Double-A team, he trashes behind out the midway and hops on the private jet.
Maybe, but it's still not it's not the same as just shooting down the Indiana toll road to see a game.
Well, I don't disagree.
And you know what? It's also better for the players that are doing rehab assignments because they can opt to check into a hotel here if they want, but they can also, it can be a day trip to go play a game and then come and then go home and sleep in your own bed.
Well, SP Futures up 25, Nancy Futures up 73. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our daily stock and futures trading recommendation, positions, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board with Matt Weber. We also have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to shift gears a little bit. I think we might have talked about it on Friday, although I'm not sure it was you. Might have been Wayne who came after you. The numbers that people are winging about now as we start to enter this presidential race, or we just enter them anyway, seems to me, Kevin, we've gone so far afield for so long. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, whether it's okay to be wealthy or not. Sure, it's okay to be wealthy. I don't have a problem. Although I would rather have somebody start a firm with an idea and become wealthy beyond avarice that way than just go get a job at a place, put all your buddies on the board, and vote yourself a huge raise. I mean, to me, that's not quite the same thing. But we'll leave that for the moment. But the income disparity, Kevin, at some point, I think really wrecks the economy. I mean, I really do think, even though I'm not a, you know, if I was a grad student doing a paper on it, my PhD, my FID, I do believe that you're better off with, you know, 500 people buying a bass boat than you are with one person, having a huge yacht. I mean, just in terms of economically. Although, just as I need a professor, just guess who walked in. Mr. Russell Rhodes, with the
wait a minute. Just what do you mean when you need a professor? You've had one for almost an hour.
Well, I mean an economics professor.
Oh, okay, that's economics better.
Professor,
but the so anyway, but here's a chart that I didn't want to run by you in terms of what we talk about the central banks. You get to some of the best stuff from Europe. Best charts are in Europa, as they would say in the Gallic Wars. This is a good one for you, Russell. In 2008, this is a combination now of U.S., Japan, Eurozone, U.K., Sweden, Switzerland. The chart says that in 2008, these numbers were roughly equivalent. GDPs of all these countries combined, currency in circulation, and central bank assets. I would never have thought they were even, Russell, but they were pretty much even. It had been for, well, this thing goes back to 2000. Currency was below and came up to the line. But anyway, since then, the GDP has gone from a baseline of 100 to maybe 140, 130 maybe. This is over a 11-year period. So it's up 30% in 11 years, which is roughly what? Maybe not even 30%, 28%. So it's about roughly 2.2 a year, which is what we're talking about, right? The currency is up to 200, so that is essentially doubled. Central bank assets are up in the fives. They're five times as much as they were. Now, I don't, just by looking at this chart, if somebody were to say, we need to expand central bank assets even more, if you just saw this, what would your reaction be? Wow, it doesn't look like it's done much so far.
And how much more can they do?
Yeah, sometimes how much more can they do?
That's the, not necessarily what on the chart that you can see and I can't see, but you know, how much more can they actually do than they've already done?
I think
they're running out of bullets, man. Yeah. They're like Sundance Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
Well, about to run out.
And you know what's left then? Just jump off the cliff.
Yep. Don't worry, I can't swim. Well, the fall will probably kill you, you idiot. What's the difference? to get back to my earlier point, Kevin, is we talked about it, I think, on Friday, or I talked about it with somebody, and I went by the McDonald's by Audrey's and Homer Glenn on 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, like I always do. Wanted, help wanted, all shifts, all levels, management, blah, blah, blah. Will pay up to $11 an hour. I'm thinking, that's mighty generous of you, philanthropic of you. Maybe if
that's not good for certainly for not a management or a supervisor, and it's not good for someone who wants to work part time. But who really works at McDonald's, Tom?
Well, I know who used to work there. A bunch of young people and a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get high school kids who work after school and on weekends and in the evenings, okay? And $11 an hour is fine for them. That's what the labor force is. And the older people are the ones who go in and work in the morning. In fact, go through a drive-through at, 6:15 in the morning, and it's old people because we're awake at that hour. We wake up at 4.
That's right.
But it's also people who don't really need the money. They just want to get out of the house.
Right, but what I'm going with is not so much.
So that's your labor force. What do you expect? What do you expect the payment to be?
Well, no. My point is that the numbers have gone on the low end. They've stayed so horrible for so long. In other words, the median income, and I mentioned this yesterday, I wanted your and Russell's opinion. The median income in 2000 was say 33. This is all out of debtclock.org. I think they're a couple thousand low on both one, but let's say the number they have is 33. And the number that they have for now is 36. So it's roughly up 10% in 19 years. And right next to it, they have the average car in 2000 was like 21 and now it's like 35 or something. And a house then was 165 and now it's 315. Now granted your mortgage rates are a little lower, but still you're paying up for the house. And what I'm getting here is when we go into this election, well, it seems like are we ever out of an election year now? It doesn't seem like we are.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
But my question about those numbers is going to be, and I don't know the answer, and someday I'll get time and I can take it apart. But median income, I don't know that that's a very valuable number of any kind. I need to know what the variance is, how's it spread. I'm sure it's significant. What's the skew look like, and how widespread is it? Because if you just tell me the median income, well, you know what, there's always going to be a fair number of actually the median is probably going to have a skew towards lower income people under the median.
Sure.
And that may not be good, but that's where we're going to be.
Well,
and I don't
That's
I,
not.
I don't know
by
how
the way,
to comment on it. Even in my own kind of great and unmatched wisdom, I don't know how to comment on that without understanding more about the numbers.
What I'm getting to is, we're so far afield. Even if you look at the numbers that are the average hourly earnings are like 28 now. That's what they actually were down and dime last week. That was the big complaint in the labor numbers. What I'm saying is at this point, some of these expenses that people say never go up have run so far ahead of the median person. Okay, and when you have the guy from the Republican knothead senator from Pennsylvania coming out and saying, well, we've got wages in the lower level going up like 4% this year, which is better than it has in the last 5 years. I'm sitting there going, do the math. If they're so low compared to what some of these expenses are when this all started 20 years ago, which is, by the way, about five presidents ago, so it's not like it's an Obama problem or a Trump problem. It's basically all their problems or none of their problems, however you want to count it. But I'm saying, Kevin, the math is so screwed up that you could have a 10% increase in that number, and it gets you from 36 to 39. It's not even close, doesn't even match up to like a 1% increase in a house, health care, and a car, because it's been so low for so long. We almost need, I'm saying, it's been such a drag, the wages on the lower, I'll say, 80%, that you almost need a year where you're up 50% just to catch up. And if you start talking about, gee, the guy, you know, the odd part, if I want to be an ass about it, I would say that most of the gains in the low end are to gains in minimum wages that the Republicans are opposed to. So, but I'm not trying to make this political. What I'm saying is the numbers now have gotten so far askew that they're like a stock that goes from 50 to 5, or, and then you say the next day it's up 50 cents, well, it's up 10%. What do you mean it's up 50 cents? Who cares? I'm saying we're almost at a point now where you can give the statistics, quote, accurately and still lie, is my point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all you need to do, if you really want to see statistics that are absolutely true and totally meaningless, is just read post-game notes after college football games. It's chock full of them. I get that. I just think it's kind of preposterous. But I'm always, you know how I am. I'm wary about throwing around statistics. There's a lot of questions to ask about
them. I'm saying you and I, when we were in college, if we were working on the truck tax or something, we could make $7 an hour. Now, I mean, which compared to the 11 today, the same guy's making 11 today. It was 45 years ago.
Yeah, but the same guy on the truck dock is not making 11 today. No, he may not be doing as well as the inflation-adjusted 7,
right.
But he's not making 11 either.
No, I agree. Kevin, thank you. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures up 27, NASDAQ Futures up 79. Come back. We're going to talk markets and economics with Professor Russell Rhodes.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes. S&P futures now up 28, NASDAQ futures up 82. So do you think, where do you suppose the unnamed source that gave Bloomberg the high five this morning, that the high sign, that the Chinese were going to have a partial deal after we were in the crapo yesterday, you think the guy, what, he's up 25 in his booze or just 20?
Well, I think it's probably representing a lot of people, and it's just it's a futures broker that happens to be based in Washington, D.C.
Have you ever seen it?
And please understand that was sarcasm.
Yeah.
Okay. Before somebody like says, well, they should investigate that guy and everything. No.
Oh, I think they should investigate every one of these guys. You can't tell me.
They should, you know, when I worked, and I don't know when you were on the board how it worked, but when I worked at SIBO, they saw everything I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I know that they have to, they have like quarterly disclosures or something like that they have to put out there, but I doubt
but you weren't a congressman.
I doubt that there's somebody that's watching, you know, all their transactions and everything, and there probably should be.
Yep.
You know,
well, Congress can trade ahead of stuff.
Yes, they can. They are exempt from insider trading laws.
Well, I can't believe that if they're not, the White House staff isn't.
The Congress kind of makes the laws, right?
Well, I mean, I find it very hard to believe that the SEC.
Hey, you know, Congress makes the laws, and I know this is in the Constitution, but you know, they don't have term limits, but the president does.
Well, yeah.
God knows they should, but that's a multi-hour discussion.
Well, I'm not as big on that as.
Well, as some are. I just don't think you should.
I think there's way more turnover than people think.
Did you see, just to really take a left on this one, or take a left and head south on this one, do you see it's either proposed or a new law in Mexico with respect to what people in government can do once they leave government? There's a 10-year moratorium for going into an industry that you may have regulated.
Wait a minute, we do that right away.
I know.
Didn't the guy was the...
I know.
The interior undersecretary just went to work for one of the...
Of course he
did.
Oil
companies or whatever, yeah.
I know, because people will return his calls at the other place.
At some point...
The military-industrial complex. He was dead on with that one, wasn't he?
Yeah, why do we continue to allow this?
Who makes the laws?
Well, but I mean, it comes down to a lot of this is just morality and enforcement. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think... Honestly, what happens, I'm getting more and more a believer of this. When I first lobbed it out, I almost was tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
I think they keep the left versus right skirmish going so they can cheat and steal.
Oh, they're hey, look over here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of hey, look over here's.
I mean, the amount of cash these guys are making on these deals and stuff, mm-hmm. to me is outrageous. I mean...
No, I feel like... They're constantly trying to distract us. Things are falling apart in Rome, so they have two straight weeks of gladiators killing each other,
right,
to get everybody paying attention to something else. It's just a newer version of it.
When are we as a... Why as a country can't we wise up?
I heard you in the first hour where you guys were talking about... let's educate everybody. Do you really think... I don't think that the elected folks want us questioning everything all the time. I was an elected folk, and I didn't like being questioned all the time, even though people certainly had the right to question what I was doing on their behalf on a school board.
Well,
I can understand that, and if you can do something about it, you do something about it.
Well, you'd like if you were elected that the people who... want to talk to you or criticize you, at least take 30 seconds to read what they're criticizing you about.
You're dead on with that.
Yeah, you'd like to have some informed... If I'm Tom Brady, I don't need a criticism of a guy sitting in the wife beater drinking a beer in a trailer park. I mean,
Yeah.
Hey, why didn't you throw to that guy? Okay, I should have thrown to that guy. I mean...
Have you ever gone to D.C., and had one of the, if you want to go see some of the things, the way you get tickets to go on different tours is you get them through your representative. And, I took my daughter on a tour of the Capitol and all that kind of stuff. And we were waiting, like always, we were like 30 minutes early. It's a bad Rhodes family habit. We're always, if I'm not a few minutes early here, start to worry.
Somebody mug you for your cardio?
Yeah, that means that in my mind I'm late. So we show up early and we're sitting in the lobby of, I can't remember, it might have been Judy Biggert's office. And they had a couple of very young, possibly intern-type people answering the phones. And of course I could only hear one side of the conversation. And their side was generally, well... You need to speak to your local town because they're the ones that set the different speed limits. And, just about every response was, in a very polite way, you're calling the wrong place.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That is a state law. That is not a federal law. So I can see being a representative and getting worn out with 90% of the complaints being things that you don't have anything to do with.
Well, one of the questions...
But if you made people smarter, they wouldn't do that.
When I was on the board, we used to have, I'm going to say one a month. What was the name? Amy Deutsch?
That was before me.
Amy was this terrific lady, one of Bratsky's... matter of fact, the only two Democrats in the place were Amy and me, right? So...
That's not true. Brodsky is.
No, God, no.
Yes, he is. He and Obama are big buds.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But he's an equal opportunity glad-hander in some ways. But anyway, okay. He's not. I'm not saying He's a good guy. It's not like I'm, okay. I'm a...
I think there are more Democrats in that place than
maybe,
you think.
Maybe. But it's not something they put out. But
right.
Anyway, so Amy would get, and she was terrific at knowing when a representative or a senator was in town, mm-hmm. and have them over for breakfast. And and to me, this is not, you know, pharmaceutical companies. I think, I believe, that the rule was you could only give them $1,000, which was the stipend for...
Yeah, there was a check they got for stopping by.
But it was minimalist.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And, you know,
it's not like they were stopping by for the check.
No,
I would be involved in some of those visits just because I was from the education department, and there was genuine interest in what we were doing.
Oh, sure. And I'm saying this was how, you know, America worked. Basically, defrayed some of the costs, guys' cost of getting here. I mean, it's about what it was. So we had Tom Foley in one day, and of course, you know, he's. Was a Speaker of the House, Democrat. Boy, I didn't realize the guy was taller than me, big guy. I mean, mm-hmm. And he sits down and he's very, very articulate. And so somebody starts hitting him up on education. You know, when is the federal government going to do something with this education? You guys, like, don't do squat and type of thing. One of the floor gnat heads.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom says, well, do you have any idea how many individual school boards there are in this country? And the guy's like, duh. Yeah, no, it's some incredible number.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So it's like 2,000 or 2,500 or something.
In Illinois, every municipality has two.
Yeah, well, I mean, the number
we
was
have
two.
A high school one and a grade school one. It's ridiculous.
And he goes, so in the U.S., he goes, our tradition has been that the education is at pretty much the local level. Because now if the federal government wants to get involved, which we have an after-school program. We have a book purchase program. We do those kinds of things. But basically, it's up to the states and municipalities. He goes, now France is exactly the opposite. If your child is in school at France in third grade, he's reading a lesson in English, well, in French, about, you know, geography that's put together at the federal level, every lesson every day. He says, would you rather have that? The guy, of course, now is bewildered because he's such a moron and he asked that question. Well, no. He said, well, how much do you really want us to get involved? Well, I guess I really don't. Okay. You know, but the whole room is like, we better say something intelligent if we're going to talk to this guy because he obviously knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I never saw that as a problem. But now it seems like it's well beyond that. How do they get from the SIBO only be able to give them $1,000 to everybody, you know, being on Merck's payroll damn near. Is it because Merck gets, you know, 50 of their top executives to all send $1,000? I mean, how do they do it?
I have no idea what the workaround is on that one. I really don't.
I think it's because the individual employees send the check.
Mm-hmm.
That the chairman says, hey, by the way, we need this guy. So everybody open up there. I think that's...
Yeah, we had a... We had a SIBO, as an employee, we had a SIBO PAC that we could donate money to, and they would, I don't know where that money went after that, really.
Well,
I signed up because...
But your question regarding the tours?
If you signed up, you got, you know, you were part of the team.
Well, they had, Carol Moseley Brown was a senator for a while, for one term, I remember her. Well, she shows up, I start talking to her, I mean, and because there weren't, you know, any other Democrats around, and it turns out her chief of staff grew up like half a mile from me in the south side, went to Mother Macaulay, right?
Uh-huh.
So we hit it up right away. She's, you know, she's a lot younger, so it was like we start BSing and stuff, and she goes, you know, if you guys have anything, everybody's doing tours or stuff, give me a call. So for the next, like, year and a half, all these Republican dudes on the floor, like, from the living out where you live, hey, Tom, will you do me a favor? What? How about calling Carol and asking her chief of staff if you could get my fourth grade class, my kid's fourth grade class a tour? And they'd always get this spectacular tour. Carol would take care of everybody. So when she mm-hmm. runs again, the SIBO doesn't want to support her. So we're sitting there in a meeting. I don't know if Duke was still there or was Bransky. I can't remember. Well, what are we going to do? We don't want to support, essentially, a Democrat. However, anything we've asked her to do for 6 years, she's done. Now what are we doing? We're having this conversation in the meeting. And I'm like, well, God, if she's done everything he asked her to do, she's voted our way, she's listened. And by the way, she's giving everybody the place a tour. How do you vote against her? Duke goes, I think you got a point there, but we still don't want to support a Democrat. Okay. Anyway, it was a conundrum, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then she lost anyway because of what the boyfriend took money and went to Africa or something or some weird old story.
Yeah, I feel like she was a sweet lady and probably was on the straight and narrow, but might have had some people around her that weren't all that great.
Tell you what, Russell, she had the ability in a room of 1,000 people. If she was talking to you for 40 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you were the only person in the room.
That's probably the I've heard the exact same thing said about Bill Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I grew up right across the river from where he was governor, so I knew people that had interacted with him before he was president.
It's such a talent, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't do that. I can barely make myself feel special some days.
Well, plus you have to remember everybody's name. You have to do all that stuff. It's not my pay grade.
I need a lackey that whispers in my ear.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or yeah. By the way, that's somebody.
Yeah.
The
so and so, and that's his second wife. We don't mention. Don't call her by the first wife's name.
You know, I had to do that on the air one day.
Do what?
Whisper in somebody's ear. I had to have somebody whisper in my ear.
All right.
Dr. J and Pete were doing this show on Fox National News or something.
Uh-huh.
It lasted about 2 months. So Jan, of course, bails on a Saturday. Hey, Chief, how about going on with Pete for like 2 hours? And they just had the draft. And all Pete wanted to do was talk about the draft.
Okay.
I know nothing about the draft.
Uh-huh.
Zero. Nor do I really, you know, I care a little bit who the Bears get, you know. That,
yeah, but you somebody, don't, you know, yeah, you don't know that was a great third pick by the Vikings.
Oh, so fortunately, yeah. Maddie comes in. And we go through our normal routine. And Maddie, of course, knows all this stuff. So, you know, Pete's going, so what do you think about that guy from Kansas City pick, the second round? And Maddie goes, oh, you mean the tight end from Ohio State? I like that guy. So yeah. Dr. J listens to the thing the next day. He goes, Chief, where'd you learn all about the math? I go, John, you idiot. I didn't know anything about the draft. It wasn't for Maddie Weber. I'm the biggest, dumbest guy ever on radio. But you can do that. Somebody can whisper in your ear. It helps a lot.
I'm well aware.
But
it's the only way I get by from day to day here. Thank you, AV.
And I'm like, yeah, what? So, Pete, you mean that redheaded guy from Brigham Young? Yeah, that's the guy. I don't know the guy from Adam, but you know what? It's whatever.
This is just going to be I was watching one of the Brigham Young football games the other day. And the announcer just mentions in passing something about one of the players' wives, and he goes, you know, a good portion of the players for Brigham Young are actually already married.
Well, most of them have already done their mission.
I know.
So they're like 24.
I know. They're Memphis had a run-in with them at a bowl a few years ago. And
I thought you'd say at a bar. I didn't know they went to bars.
No. They don't go to a bar. They have their own thing.
Yeah, they have their own little thing. You know, you got to buy your underwear from the church.
Do you really?
The guys do. The BVDs, you buy them from the church.
Really?
Yeah, the white T-shirts and the skivvies.
I did not know that.
How's that for a franchise?
That's a monopoly. What do you think they charge for that?
I don't even know.
$17 a shirt?
I have no idea. Yeah. When I'm sure it's more than the Jackie. But
special underwear. And I mean, you know, if it's really expensive, do you think maybe you don't change your underwear as often as the non-warming?
Well, nobody says you can't wash them.
Okay, well, but still.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
All right. Trade deals. You know what's dropped off the face of the earth in the last 2 weeks? Are the European tariffs. They were there for a day.
Yep.
And they were right on. Have you ever seen, on purpose or not on purpose, in this day and age, have you seen a particular subject stay on the news every friggin' day to be traded on like these Chinese tariffs?
No.
Chinese meaning.
It's been a... Typically, we get burned out on these sorts of things. You know, initially, when Trump got elected, remember he went after Boeing a little bit and the stock got hit. And then one day he mentioned somebody else and their stock gets hit and then it rebounds. And then he mentioned somebody else and the stock hardly budges and people stopped falling for that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I guess they moved on to the macro market. But no, nothing that... Yeah, and what's really funny about it is I don't think you're on the Twitter finance as much as I am, but everybody on the Twitter finance is just like, okay, well, tomorrow they'll say this and we'll rally. And it's, you know, usually when everybody is of the like mind, the market doesn't move the direction that you think it's going to. But it sure has with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, how many times, literally, has Larry Kudlow lately, or somebody else before him, come out and say, no, you know, the bad news you're hearing is not really true. We're all still talking. Everybody's dying to make this deal. And we'll run up, and then even the president will come out the next day and say, you know, with another sanction against these guys or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the two of them are playing a two-step.
Well, I heard you know, Nixon had all those tapes, and some of them are really interesting to listen to. And I am going back to Trump on this one. And there was a tape where Nixon is talking about negotiating with the Vietnamese, and he tells his negotiators, he goes, you know, we can take this back to Nixon, but, you know, he's crazy. For all you know, he's probably going to go out there and bomb Cambodia or something like that. Nixon's actually telling them to depict him as being very, just to keep him on edge. And you got to wonder if Trump's doing the same thing or if he's just nuts.
Well,
a lot of people think he's just nuts, but if he's doing something like that and everybody thinks he's nuts, he's really doing a snow job on everybody.
Well, I don't know. It's just not my style.
It's not the way to be long term in
the Japanese
situation.
The Japanese thing that we just agreed on or something. Everything I've read.
Did we back out of it yet?
Yeah, it was only a couple days. But I mean, everything I read, it's virtually identical to the Trans-Pacific thing that we pulled out of. So we've been 2.5-3 years fighting over something we already had.
Apparently, NAFTA was just like a tweak. Whatever they call it now. The YMCA, but it's something MCA.
Well, you could be the only guy other than Kevin. Do you ever actually read one of those things?
No.
It's.
I haven't. It's.
Russell, it's 200 and some pages.
Oh, I know.
Of you know, cottage cheese, small curd, not less than 2% milk fat. Next one, cottage cheese, large curd, 1%. I mean,
it's like very 25. Specific.
It's very. I mean, you sit there and go, one of these lines actually makes must affect somebody somewhere. Who the hell's somebody? I mean, on the chemicals and the food additives and stuff. It's page after page of stuff you never even. I mean, the one I read it 2 weeks ago is the 20 items that got to go from September to what, November on the tariffs in China. I didn't know what 16 of the 20 were.
Oh yeah, they were like reformulated.
Yeah, yeah.
Iron ore, steel, shiny color.
Yeah, it's
yeah, I remember was talking about that. It was some very specific stuff that. Yeah, there are probably 7 items in this room that have them in it, but we don't know that.
I would say,
you
know, that,
like, it's the polymer blend in your coffee cup over there.
I would say that one of the bright things, if you have the I won't say the mental bandwidth, if you have the time, which I think in this country most people don't.
Yeah.
The man has ripped the scab off a lot of things that needed to have a scab ripped off of. I would say if somehow, I hope. They come back and say there's not enough to impeach. I think that's with an election coming up. I think that's somewhat of a waste of time. Although I will say this, the idea that the Republicans are putting out there that you can't impeach somebody because of the will of the people 3 years ago, it's not what the Constitution says.
No, not at all.
Not at all. I mean, yeah. One has nothing to do with the other.
The whole idea is that the people's will is getting followed through on, and that the guy that's been put in office is not.
Right.
Not doing things he's not supposed to do.
But
are limits to being the president.
But we need,
and they're supposed to be checked and balanced.
We need to learn how to. I won't say beat ourselves. We're not into self-flagellation, but we need somehow to look in the mirror. The Brits can do this. We don't seem to be able to. I mean, if all this were to end, say next week, and the Democrats say, "Look, the guy's been kind of a bleep," but you know what? It doesn't rise up to the. Impeachment. Let's just forget about it, and let's go. Let's try and govern for a year for the election. I mean, I'm sure that won't happen, but say it did, I would love to see if there is an adult somewhere in the Senate or in representatives, or even maybe somebody running for president, which would nobody believe them on either side. Somebody stand up and say, "Here's what I want to do." Get on 60 Minutes or whatever something people watch these days, or find the right tweeter. You know what? We've got one guy going to jail, another guy. Did Flynn go to jail, or did he just get fined? Did he go to jail, too?
I think just one went to jail.
Manafort went to jail.
Yeah.
Right, we got Flynn. Now we got Biden's kid. It's pretty obvious to every American who can read two sentences that when we give money to these countries, somehow there's a whole flotilla of people that are following this dough and getting their finger in that pie. We need to figure out what in God's name is going on and who's involved, and we need to figure out what's going on here. How much of our money is being siphoned along the way by carpetbaggers? I could see that as an across the aisle type investigation, but are these guys making money on it? I mean, are some of that feeding back to them, or how many could you find enough honest people to have the investigation, or is everybody's thumb in the pie?
I think everybody's thumb is in the pie. I think that's and it's going to start. I think somehow this deal is going to fade out, and the reason that it's going to fade out is because everybody has some things that they don't want people to find out about, and those things will start to come out, and you'll just, everybody will start to back away from the situation.
Well, why?
I do think it's going to fade. I honestly, I'm not paying that much attention to it because I really do think that that the whole thing's just going to fade. I don't think we're going to reach a point of it, you know, going to a trial with everybody wearing their cool robes and everything.
I don't
expect us to reach that point. And that's not because I don't think he did anything wrong or think he did something wrong. It's just because I think that it's a direction everybody doesn't want to go.
Although it seems like the polls are going toward that way, which I don't want. But I heard your girlfriend, Carly Fiorina, was on yesterday.
Was she?
And she asked the same, I mean, you're not supposed to do this ever, mm-hmm. is agree with somebody because they say the same thing you did. But she says, I don't understand this thing with China. If we're pissed off, basically, she wouldn't say that. If we're pissed off about them not letting people here buy full companies over there, you only can buy 49%,
mm-hmm.
why don't we just do the same thing here? That would be step one, and we still haven't done that, which yeah. I've been saying now for what, 2 years?
That, you know, just do the same thing to them they do to
right.
us.
Why are we making it so complicated?
That'd be straightforward.
And she goes, if they're not adhering by the rules of the World Trade Agreement, which we let them in there, Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, kick them out. What is all this other stuff for?
Well, that would have involved doing something that you and I have and a lot of people have said should have been done, which is, you know, put together a coalition of people that the Chinese right. are screwing over. We're not the only ones. And, you know, and that's exactly the forum that you would get that coalition together in.
You would think that you would have gone ahead with the Trans Pacific thing, which 90% of the people here don't even realize China was not part of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not in that. Yeah. And you say to them, look, if you want to get involved in this one, and oh, by the way, not get your ass booted out of the WTO, these are the things we don't want you doing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
With 48 people standing behind us. Not this way. This yeah. makes no sense, in my mind.
Yeah. But no, it unilaterally is not the way to have gone about
it. But, I mean,
everybody agrees you should do something. You know, I know we got to hit a break, and there's yeah. I've got more to say about it than I can do in the how many seconds we have
well,
left.
Then why don't we just go to break?
Let's go to break.
S&P futures up 24-25. NASDAQ futures up. This is roughly slightly more than halfway back from yesterday. NASDAQ futures up 68. Individual stocks. Apple up 231. I still cannot understand how they have done so well with this China situation. I would thought they would have been ground zero on problems. Goldman Sachs up $2. United Healthcare up 289. Other than that, nothing crazy in the Dow. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Well, real quick, Stocks and Jocks, Tom Tomano. He's Professor Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber, and Angelica Vlasenko all on the board over there. S&P futures up 24. We were down 45 yesterday, so we're slightly more than halfway back. NASDAQ up 69. We've got the Dow up 190. Around the rest of the world, we've got rallies in Europe. They were down yesterday. DAX up 157, 1.3%. FTSE up 49.7%. CAC around up 46.8. I'd like to point out that last week with the incredible gyrations, with the huge drop and then the comeback, we ended up down, what, half of 1%? It was like $5.
All over the place.
And even as people talk about this year, the market up so much, if you go back a calendar year from today, I think we're up, what, $3 in the spiders? I mean, we're almost exactly there. Nikkei down 131.6%, Shanghai up 11.4%, Hang Seng down 210.8%. Bonds, U.S. 10-year 1.55%, the Bund minus 0.57%, Japan 10-year minus 0.20%. Oil up 63 cents, that's 53.26. Brent up 70 cents, 58.94. Natural gas now 227. So I said 230 was the bottom. It went back to like 240 something. Now it's below the bottom. What happens when it's below the bottom, Russell? That's bad.
I don't know.
How could you be below the bottom? Arbob 160. Yeah. Arbob 160. We had gold up 790, 1511. Silver up 21 cents, 1791. Trying to make it back to 18. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still working on that significant crash on the tri-state northbound just before the Stevenson. The right lane is blocked. This crash is involving two semis and happened about an hour ago, and they're expecting solid traffic to continue throughout the morning on the tri-state, especially as you're trying to get on the Stevenson there. Expect delays of up to 2 hours as crews work to get this cleared up, a two-semi crash that happened in the 6 o'clock local time hour. No issues coming in on the Edens. Traffic building steadily on the Kennedy and Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Stevenson itself. Southside expressways have looked good all morning. On I-80 westbound before Maple Street, there is a crash, and that's causing some delays. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, another beautiful fall day. Sunshine, a high of 69. No chance of rain. Right now it's crystal clear and 56 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 95 today. Right now it's clear and 68. In sports, there will be 3 Game 5s in the Major League Baseball Division Series playoffs. If you haven't been following it, tonight would be a good time to start. There's 2 of Game 5s today. Cardinals at the Braves in Atlanta, deciding game. That's a 4 o'clock first pitch Central Time. And then after that, it'll be Nationals at the Dodgers, Game 5, 7:37 first pitch. Last night, the Rays held on to beat the Astros 4-1, so they tied that series up at 2 games apiece. Their Game 5 will be tomorrow night in Houston. That'll be a 6 o'clock Chicago time first pitch. Chief.
Manny, while you're still there, don't go too far. What's the latest? What is everybody thinking on this NBA? Russell, I know we have more to talk about when we went to break with, but while we have Maddie, what's your read on this NBA-China thing?
I mean, I don't really have much of a read on it, to be honest, because I haven't really read into it that much. But, I mean, it's clear that the key to the NBA's growth over the last 5 years has been in China and in Asia. And they do all kinds of exhibition stuff over there and tours over there and Adidas and Nike shoe tours. And it's wildly popular via their streaming services for the NBA. So it's a very they're trying to tread lightly here, but at the same time they don't want to censor their executives and players and coaches, and they've always kind of been the league that kind of lets guys speak their mind, unlike, you know, maybe the NFL or Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, you're speaking your mind against the dictatorship,
right?
Well, I would love to see the guy who looks like he's, I don't want to say that. I say he looks a little odd. The chairman, the commissioner,
Adam Silver.
Where did they find that guy?
He was David Stern's longtime assistant. Oh, okay. And, yeah, he was sort of groomed as the next guy in waiting. And then when Stern retired, he slid right in. And I think most people like what he's done so far. But you know, he's maybe 4 or 5 years into it.
I'm not exactly Robert Redford. The guy looks like the guy in American Gothic, the painting, doesn't he? Maddie has no idea what American Gothic is.
Yeah, I do. The farmer?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't see it. That's
I don't know if I would say that he looks like that, but he's a very skinny, bald man.
Mm. Well, but I guess what I'm saying is now the debates are raging all over, as you can imagine, the financial press all day. Well, you know, these guys, look how much money your responsibility is to your shareholders, your teams, and I'm going, God, this just never changes, does it? I mean, back, if you read history, the guys who wanted Hitler to conquer the whole continent.
There he is.
Yeah, you wanted Hitler to conquer the whole continent was Joe Kennedy. So he'd have one guy to sell scotch to. You had Lindbergh. You could rattle off the names of the people. Yeah, this is great. We have dealing with a dictator. Obviously, all you got to do is get in his good graces and look how much money you can make, like Kentucky Fried Chicken. But do we really want Hong Kong to become part of China? I don't think so. So what are the chances of this guy saying, we not only stand behind our freedom of speech of our people. By the way, I think you're screwing the guys in Hong Kong too. Why don't you lay off? I wish you would have said that. That would be me.
Yeah, I doubt he'll say that.
No, there's no chance that you're going to say that. The way it works in China is you actually, if you do the streaming service, you pick the team that you like. So you pick a team you're going to root for, and the streaming service only gives you, like, basically you can choose the team you want to root for, and you get all their games, kind of like you live in Houston. There's one less choice today on that service than there used to be. they dropped Houston, and if you had subscribed to Houston, which was one of the more popular teams because of Yao Ming, you don't get a refund, but you just get to pick another team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Houston, yeah, to your point, is probably the most, or certainly the top three or four most popular teams in China.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Mariners were for Japan for a long time.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Manny, how many retired guys are playing over there?
A lot. A lot of guys have that, you know, for whatever reason, or not for whatever reason, got too old to play in the NBA, but wanted to keep playing. Guys like Stephon Marbury, Allen Iverson did it for a while, Tracy McGrady did it for a while. I mean, these are, you know, borderline Hall of Fame guys, that as their careers wound down, they were able to go over to China and make like $20 million a year, playing, you know, against Chinese professional teams and wearing their Adidas or Nike apparel and selling that, and it's a valuable commodity to have.
So you think Adidas and Nike have zero morals?
I know Adidas and Nike had zero morals.
Yeah.
So is there any chance of the Mudville 5, the Matty Weber team on Monday night going over and finding a spot?
I have a lot of desire to travel the world. I don't have any desire to go to China.
I don't either.
I know Russell's been there, and I'm sure there's some great things about it, but it's probably like 50th on my list of places I want to go that I haven't been.
I will only eat the rice, maybe some vegetables. I don't know where anything else came from. I don't want any part of it.
I'm sure that you can find some good restaurants somewhere.
There's some neat things to do, and there are some fun restaurants, and I agree with you as far as making a list. If I hadn't been sent everywhere by SIBO, if I had to make a list of the places that I'd like to go, or you know what, the list now that my kids are getting old enough, places to take them, mainland China is not very high up on that list right now. It just isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, I think they'd like to see the Great Wall, things like that. The Forbidden City is just ridiculous.
Oh, I can imagine.
It goes on forever and ever and ever. We were actually, since we have gone down this road, we actually were going to Hong Kong for Christmas and New Year's this year. That was the way things work right now is I got kids in two different schools and myself at a different school, and all three of us have different spring breaks. So if we were going to go somewhere together, we were going to have to do it over Christmas. And we're going to leave Christmas night. We're going to go to Hong Kong. Got a hotel room looking over the bay to watch the New Year's fireworks and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things when you travel somewhere like that is you do have to pay for the hotel up front. So I kept putting it off, and then we're going to Germany.
There you go.
Where are you going to Germany?
We're going to do, and everybody got to pick a place, and keep in mind there's four people in the family, and I didn't get to pick a place.
so there's three people.
Yeah, well, the three people that chose. We're going to Salzburg, Austria, Munich, and crud. Not Frankfurt, somewhere else.
Berlin?
Berlin, exactly. Yeah, Berlin. My hipster daughter wants to go. Author daughter wants to go to Berlin. She's
dying over
there.
I love Vienna.
Yeah.
I've never been to Austria or Germany, and I would love to go. They would definitely be ahead of China on my
list. Do yourself a favor if you go to Vienna.
Uh-huh.
Because you're a big shot.
At least some people think so. Go ahead.
Get yourself a tour of the Vienna Stock Exchange. You won't believe it. It is spectacular.
Really?
God, yes. We're over 91 with Dr. J.
We're adding Vienna, family. I know they listen.
I've heard Vienna's beautiful, which I'm sure everyone's heard that.
And if you appreciate, I can't say this while you're let's just say, if you appreciate the beauty of humans, you will love Vienna.
Okay.
I said as politically correct as possible.
You did.
Yeah, that was politically
carbon-based brain pods.
I'm not, yeah.
That's what I refer to my students as.
I'll give a Cliff Notes version of Vienna Stock Exchange. We're over there with Dr. J and this other guy who worked for him. So we go. These guys say, "You want to go to the Stock Exchange?" We go, "Sure." Well, there's no bids and offers on anything,
mm-hmm.
right? And you just there's a tape that told you what traded. But if you were a big shot, like if you were at a bank where we were lecturing at banks, you could actually put a phone hookup on a speaker to what was going on in the specialist post. Right? There's only about four or five specialists. So
uh-huh.
the deal was. If you're a specialist, nobody could compete with you. You couldn't actually take the trade on your own. You just put the trade together for other people, and you made like $200,000 a year. This is 1991. And oh, by the way, you work 4 hours a day. So
How's that? Like being a grain trader.
How's that for a job, Manny? No, you couldn't take risk. Well, you could find a way to screw up. So if somebody wanted to do a trade, say an IBM, whatever the, you know, an IBM was, the thing would get down there, and I could tell by the squawk box how big the trade was, because I'd be like calling people to put the trade together. So the bigger the hubbub, the bigger the order was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you heard the hubbub, you could call in and say, hey, what are you doing? Because you'd have to hear him. He wouldn't call you. So you call him, hey, what are you doing? This guy wants to buy like 5,000 shares of IBM. All right, well, I'll sell 1,000 at this price. So finally, the thing would go up, and the guy would get paid from both sides. But he couldn't be a part of the trade, the specialist. But if the specialist next to him, who did GM, if he's screwing around with GM, I could become part of the trade in GM. So if I basically wanted to speculate, market make, piss away the 200 grand that was guaranteed me for doing nothing except organizing the trade, I could trade the stock of the guy next to me. So all the specialists traded all the other guys' stocks, not their own. And you sat there, they had a huge buffet in the place.
Nice.
For the 4 hours you were there with beer. And
so you show up for brunch.
Well, but the weird part, they just came out with cell phones, right?
Uh-huh.
So instead of the guys hanging by their booth, they'd wander over to grab a sandwich, and guys are calling them from the 30 feet from where the booth was to the table. They couldn't wander back to 30 feet and make the trade. They're standing over there eating a sandwich, talking on a cell phone to the booth in the same room. if you'd have given us one of those jobs, we'd talk about dying and going to heaven. You couldn't screw up.
That's the kind of job I need.
Well, then
the not screwing up part there.
Well, you couldn't, if all you did was put the trade together.
Uh-huh.
You got paid from both sides. You were forbidden to put your own money on either side of it.
Yeah, that's even better than being bookies.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely better than being bookies. Anyway, we were talking about.
Yeah, I got a thought.
Yeah.
And it's rare that I have a really fired up thought. And I told you during the break and you rolled your eyes, which means it's a good one.
Yes.
I can make an argument for the Chinese wanting to deal with Trump instead of the Democrats.
Oh, sure.
And I had one, but then through our conversation earlier, I think I got another one as well. The first one is it's apparently Elizabeth Warren put out some sort of manifesto that says how countries that we do business with should behave. And I have not read it. I've heard this secondhand, but I've heard that some of the things in there are so stringent that the U.S. probably wouldn't even do business with themselves. So if there's a human rights attitude about who we're going to do business with from her, China does not want to deal with that. And then the other part of it is what Trump has been doing wrong, a Democrat would do right. Now, none of them in the debates really disagree that something needs to be done about China and their trade practices. They just disagree with the methodology. And, you know, if somebody that's reasonable gets elected from that side and that's who ends up winning, they're going to put together a coalition and they're going to do it right. And, because Trump's already kind of pushed us in that direction. And other countries might be a little bit more willing after this thing has started to kind of jump on the bandwagon.
Well, what,
so they may really want to deal with the guy they've got right now although a lot of people are making an argument that they're just going to play the waiting game with Trump and then deal with the next person.
But
the next person might be worse.
I'm going to ask you, we have 10 minutes. We got time to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
If Maddie wants to opine, please feel free. Like we've talked in politics, and I've talked to a lot of people, as much as the left and the right fights, they're sacred cows, they won't go there. I'm never going to get up debating with you we're running against each other for senator. I'll call you every name in the book, but I won't ever say, hey, you bleep, you took money from Pfizer, how the hell are you going to regulate them? Because I'm not going to go there because you can turn around and say, well, you took money from Merck, you cheap screw.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're not going to go there, but this thing, it appears to be so, I use the term American in a bad way, because most of the time I use that word. We have water on both shoulders, as Duke Chapman used to say. We can't say that a Chinese firm can't buy something here. Because somewhere buried in the West Wing, one of Trump's buddies, or if you and I got in there, one of our buddies maybe, wait a minute. I've got a Budweiser distributorship, and these bleeps are going to pay me $40 billion for it. You're telling me I can't sell it to them? What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
So we can't we can't call up, I use the name of your school, I won't use the name of your school, we can't call up the University of Illinois and say, hey, by the way, I hear you've got, you know, 150 graduate students from China, and oh, by the way, the reason why you let them in and not our people is because they're paying more dough than our people do. Stop it. Boot them the hell out. We're not willing to do the things that you and I might say, okay, if we're going to clean this up, let's clean it up. We can only clean up a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Because we've got people, and when I first started doing the show, even before Manny, when Jan and I were on the score, Jan said to me, what do you know about China? I remember this like it was yesterday. I said, Jan, it's an incredibly tough subject. Because I forgot even who the president was at the time. Was it Bush? I said, Jan, you got Bill Gates walking in and saying, we sold four copies of software over there, and these idiots got 300 million machines. You know, I'm guessing that they're copying them. And you sit there and go, wow, that's a problem. I got to do something about it. All of a sudden, he walks out, and Matty Weber walks in. He's the chairman of Coke. Whoa, there's a billion guys over there with slanty eyes drinking a Coke every day. What are you doing? What are you, some kind of moron? It's the best thing that's ever happened to us. This is not an even game. And unless we're willing to get our house in order here, and say, look, you're not buying places over here because we can't buy them over there. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. Your people are not coming here to college. You're going back over there and making weapons. Unless we're not willing to put that 10 items on the wall that we all agree with, how do you negotiate with anybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where am I wrong?
I'm not wrong. No, it's like you. It circles back to the what you started with, which is it's a very difficult subject. It's a very difficult place to figure out, how to approach it. And the steamroller approach that we've got right now is not necessarily the best approach. But honestly, I think a lot of people, and they won't say it out loud, but I think a lot of people agree it's better than what we've been doing, which is nothing.
Well, if you cut away the wheat from the chaff, mm-hmm. my biggest complaint about Trump from day one and from years ago when I knew about the guy is that his screw-ups in office, other than, just shooting off at the mouth, which I honestly don't care about that much, are totally underestimating the complexity of of the problem he waddles into, then gets in there, and then he doesn't know what to do. I mean, this is a major thing. I mean, the idea of a two or three or four or ten country trade agreement being a quote deal, you're de minimizing the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like calling a polio shot medicine. I mean, it's okay. That's one zillionth of medicine, mm-hmm. right? He continually underestimates the complexity of what's been going on between China and us, and who's getting paid on both sides. I mean, how many companies in this country? Because I didn't do this because I never went anywhere. I've gone to one of the Economic Club of Chicago dinners, and I ran into some lady who worked for the Chinese consulate. And we change cards back and forth. And sure enough, the next week, somebody calls me and says, Chief, I was thinking about researching, putting a factory in China because a couple of people I supply have moved to China. What do I do? So I call this lady, and she says, well, if you're serious about it, you bring your person in. I'm not a consultant. It's not in my livelihood. I wasn't going to go. What am I going to help out for? I said, I'll give you the guy's name. She goes, we put him in touch with a couple of guys, one's from this province, that province, and the other. We'll see what kind of factory he's talking about. And when he gets essentially a person over there, a wingman or a guy who moves things along, and you end up with somebody from the government that takes you through, shows you where the factory can be built. Essentially, you start paying off the local people to keep the labor in check. But there's mm-hmm. money coming down all along the line to these people. And why do you think these people are still making 40 cents an hour? I mean, or 30 cents or whatever it is. Because there's people that essentially sell you that, and those people get paid for it. I mean, how do you have a country that, 90% of them are in poverty, and the other 10%, there's more millionaires there than there are here? I mean, where do you think they got that dough? From people here.
Yeah.
I mean,
from being the gatekeeper.
I'm going to say I understand 5 to 10% of this, just from people I've talked to. Mm-hmm. And to me, for me to open up this stuff, it would take me 6 months of talking to people on a daily basis of what the hell's really going on, who's paying who, who's getting paid off. I mean, and, you know, what exactly they're doing to keep these people, how many suicides a week do you hear about are in a lot of these factories? I'd want to know all about that before I ever open this stuff up. Instead of just saying, this deal's no good, screw you guys, you're out of it, and by the way, we're starting a new deal. I mean, the complexity here, it's like saying, let's not fly the B-17, I don't like it, let's try a new plane tomorrow. Well, okay, a new plane's 10 years in the making. Well, no, it can't be. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's this constant underestimation of the complexity.
What things take, yeah.
And I think that's a problem for having somebody who has no experience and doesn't want to learn. Thinks he knows it already. That's a problem. Because you and I mean, when you talk about somebody who's a, you'll never get somebody who most people think is intelligent to say he's intelligent. Because all he thinks about is the stuff he doesn't know, not the stuff he knows.
Robert writes, then, the problem with the Elizabeth Warren theory is that American companies still have to sell in China. So Warren can put up whatever. China can still say, well, maybe.
But you can make that. We're not talking about that. I don't think anybody's saying you can't sell there. We're talking about ownership. And we're talking about.
I'm talking about the whole gamut of things, including, you know, doing business back and forth.
Am I. Well, what I'm saying is the ownership part has changed. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago, it was stealing Beatles albums, you know, those kinds of things, and then selling them over there. But now it's different. We're doing business with these guys. They're buying, you know, 1,000 MAX 737s, and Boeing is giving them the drawings. That's different than them stealing an album and printing it off, right?
Yep. You think they put a couple of little errors in the drawings?
You know what?
You've brought that example up over and over again, and I always wonder if, because like, you know, if I've got a cool trading methodology and I'm explaining it to people, I always give them about 90% of it.
Well, I think that
you know what I'm saying,
right? But I would say you could give the Chinese a drawing for the Superliner, which I was with at Pullman, and say I built it. I didn't build it; I was a finance guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that in 5 to 10 years. Chinese are smart enough to come up with something pretty close to a superliner, at least it'll look like it. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not they can come up with the trucks being as good, probably not. Maybe the air brakes aren't going to be as good. The air conditioners maybe aren't going to be. The part that, you know, you and I know are the guts of it, Mark, it'll look just like it.
Yeah.
But now, I think Boeing is very confident that the Chinese are 50 years away from the technology to assemble the thing and put it all together. And I think they're probably right. They can take that chance. I mean, the skin on the 787, I don't believe the Chinese would in 20 years have been able to do that.
Yeah, they can have the plans. You know what? They could give you and me the plans for the next plane.
They could give the whole story is you can read the plans of the atomic bomb on the internet.
Yeah.
I challenge any of us to make an atomic bomb from the internet. I mean, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I think Boeing is convinced that the process that they have is something that they can't.
It's sort of like putting together a table from IKEA. You can give me the directions. I got no shot. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Now, Maddie, if you and I put your ceiling fan in or your light in, right?
We did. Yeah, we did, and it took us a long time.
And I would say that was not the first time, because I thought she was special. It's the first time Maddie's girlfriend sat there, and the instructions were the worst I think I've ever seen, Maddie. And we had to put the thing up and down. We kept having parts left over that weren't in the instructions.
Yeah.
So we'd have to put it up and say.
That always scares you, doesn't it?
Well, but then we'd say, obviously, it's not hanging straight. That's what that part was, basically. We'd have to take it down again. Well, she never said a word.
She's not a complainer.
She never said, you sure you know what you're doing? Like most people would have said. I had so much respect for her. I liked her before. I really liked her after. And we got the thing upright. It just took us a little while. And we had a beer. S&P futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 65. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you,
Maddie. Thank you, AV. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.